The world's 85 million Anglicans have a new spiritual leader. Dame Sarah Mullally has officially started work as Archbishop of Canterbury, the first woman to hold the job. But this historic appointment has sharpened divisions. In Africa and Australia, some conservative Anglicans reject her leadership. Bishop Mark Short of the Canberra-Goulburn Diocese is the new primate of the Anglican Church of Australia.
As someone who's very recently settled into a primatial role, I want to assure her of our prayers as she assumes some very weighty and complex responsibilities. The Anglican Church of Australia values the heritage we share with the Church of England. So we share a rich history of ministry and mission, and we will be praying for Archbishop Sarah as she takes her place in that heritage.
You referred there to weighty issues that she will have to deal with.
Firstly, it's just the complexity of the role. She is, at the same time, the diocesan bishop of Canterbury. She's the primate of England, and she's also has a key role in the Worldwide Anglican Communion. Of course, in the Worldwide Anglican Communion, there are both the blessings of shared fellowship, but also the challenges that have come to that fellowship, particularly through disagreements over how we're to respond faithfully to issues of human sexuality. Mm. So I think one of the challenges and opportunities for Archbishop Sarah will be to lead us in an honest and open conversation about where we are, so that in naming where we are, we might find the best way forward.
Yeah. You're the primate of the church in Australia, the leader of Australia's Anglican bishops. Are you, Mark, in a position to guarantee to Archbishop Sarah Mullally the loyalty of Australian Anglican clergy?
Well, no Australian Anglican clergy take an oath of loyalty to the Archbishop of Canterbury. Hers is an office that we respect and pray for, and I have every expectation that we will continue to do so.
The reason I ask that is that the biggest and most powerful diocese in Australia, the Sydney Anglican Diocese, reacted to her appointment in this way. Her public comments show that she has strayed from the clear teaching of Scripture and promoted serious error that will neither advance unity nor the mission of the Church. It said that successive Anglican archbishops have forfeited the trust of Orthodox Anglicans who now look to other leaders. It doesn't sound like your fellow bishops or your colleagues in the Sydney Diocese feel any affinity or loyalty towards the Archbishop of Canterbury.
Certainly, I'm aware that behind those comments lie some of those significant disagreements I've referred to earlier. The Diocese of Sydney continues to be part of the Anglican Church of Australia. The Anglican Church of Australia is in turn in communion with the Church of England. So there is a relationship there. Like all relationships, it has its moments of challenge. It has its times when we need to speak honestly and openly about areas of disagreement as well as agreement. And I'm hoping that we will have that kind of relationship moving forward.
Should Archbishop Sarah set foot in Australia, would she be received as the Archbishop of Canterbury by all the Anglican bishops? There are some who don't even recognise her as a priest.
Of course, as is always the case, that decision would rest with the bishops of individual dioceses. Certainly, in my role as primate, she'd be very welcome, including here in the Anglican Diocese of Canberra-Goulburn.
Now, I know that you are personally very committed to unity. You are dealing with a very fractious Anglican church here in Australia. I mean, how do you keep the show together? You've only just started your role as primate. You've got bishops from very different dioceses. In Perth, for example, Archbishop Kay identifies probably quite strongly as a liberal Anglican. In Sydney, they don't even recognise the Archbishop of Canterbury, Sarah Mullally, as a priest. How do you keep this show together?
By recognising that it's not primarily my responsibility to do so. I wrote something when it was announced that Bishop Sarah was taking on this role, probably in light of my reflections on my new responsibilities. And one of the things I said there is that when it comes to senior ecclesiastical roles, increasingly we tend to see them through the lens of, you know, managing difference. My lodestar for my particular role, and I assume it is Bishop Sarah's as well, is to go back to the ordinal, which talks about bearing witness to Christ's resurrection, proclaiming the truth of the gospel, discerning the mind of Christ, commitment to the scriptures. And yes, that needs to work itself out in relationships. But my view, it's as we speak the truth in love, that we'll be in a much better position to do so. That's how I see my calling primarily. Of course, that involves a call to guard the unity that we're given in Jesus. My sense is, both for Archbishop Sarah and myself, if we end up seeing ourselves primarily as a manager of difference, we'll end up failing in that particular calling and perhaps missing out on much more important ones.
The Sydney Anglican leadership says that Archbishop Sarah Mullally supports abortion rights and the blessing of same-sex relationships. Now, she doesn't necessarily support the Anglican Church conducting same-sex weddings, but they say she supports the blessing of same-sex relationships. How can that be reconciled with the position not just of the Sydney Anglicans, but perhaps a majority of the global South Anglicans? Because in Africa, the leader of the church in Nigeria, which is the biggest single bloc in the Anglican Communion, has said, we don't even recognize the Archbishop of Canterbury as our leader anymore. We're not sending them money. We're not going to take directions or take any leadership from them. Where is this position of reconciliation going to come from?
I mean, the issues you raise are serious ones. When it comes to the blessing of same-sex unions, I don't see matters the same way as I understand Archbishop Sarah sees them. The last time that General Synod met, we had the opportunity to vote on the statement affirming that the Church's understanding of teaching that marriage is between a man and a woman, and consequently stating that it's not appropriate to have authorised blessings of same-sex unions, and I voted in favour of that statement. So yes, there's areas where I do disagree with her. I think part of the way forward for the Anglican Communion is noting and being honest about those disagreements and recognising that while it may lead to a loosening of bonds, if there's honesty about that, it may be that bonds can be maintained, albeit in a different form to the case 50 or 100 years ago. Leaving aside disputes over sexuality, the Anglican Communion of today is much different from 100 years ago. We've seen the huge shifting in gravity and numbers towards the global south, the rise of leaders from the global south, missionary movements from the global south to the global north. Those changes in and of themselves would have significant implications for our life together as a communion. You know, I know one of Bishop Sarah's key roles will be to interact with some proposals that have come out from the Inter-Anglican Standing Commission on Faith and Order, so-called Nairobi-Cairo proposals, that talk about ways in which it might be possible both to be honest about our disagreements, to recognise the way in which those disagreements have had an impact on the nature of our relationships, to affirm the growing input of leadership from different parts of the communion, and nevertheless chart a way forward in light of all that.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but is it not the case that to still call yourself an Anglican in Australia, with all the privileges, the access to property, the access to the name itself, you are required to be in communion with the See of Canterbury? What then happens if any diocese in Australia, objecting to Archbishop Sarah Mullally's perceived liberalism on human sexuality, says, we're not in communion with Canterbury? What then happens to the church? What happens to those dioceses?
Well, they would still be a part of the Anglican Church of Australia, which is in itself in communion with the Church of England according to its constitution. That would continue to be the case. There's legal questions beyond that which are probably above my pay grade at this stage. The basic reality that, you know, we have 23 Anglican dioceses that make up the Anglican Church of Australia. I have every confidence that none of them is intending to go anywhere.
And they've told you that?
As I speak to a variety of bishops around the country of a variety of different views, they all affirm their commitment to remaining part of the Anglican Church of Australia.
Bishop Mark Short, he's the Anglican Bishop of the Diocese of Canberra-Goulburn, but he is also the Primate of the Anglican Church in Australia, the leading bishop among Australian Anglicans. Thanks for being with us on the Religion and Ethics Report.
Thank you, Andrew.
Find more great ABC RN stories that take you beyond the headlines on the ABC Listen app.